Just watch me love myself. That's all I want. Got what I want. That's all I want. I'm not sorry.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
And this is Love to See It, an obsessively detailed recap podcast about reality dating shows like The Bachelor and other pop culture that makes us laugh, cry, and curse the patriarchy.
We can't live with these shows and we can't live without them, but we can break down every juicy moment and unpack all the weird messages these shows send us about love, sex, and dating.
Welcome to Love to See It, a podcast about Jesse Palmer's fluency in French.
And also the absolute bastardization of poutine, frankly, one of the world's most important dishes.
But it's okay because Jesse gave them the weird ingredients. And Jesse, as we all know, is actually Canadian. And that is what this episode today is about.
He's not just Canadian. He is Canada, I think.
Yeah, he should be on the flag. That's actually what was blurred out on Maria's flag at the beginning. It was just a picture of Jesse's face. They're like, this man represents us. So before we talk a little bit more about Jesse and his national origin, we have a little housekeeping. Everyone, if you missed it, we had a new like bonus series that launched last week. We're going to be tinkering with this new kind of bonus episode where we really dive into an iconic couple's relationship. Our first episode was Taylor and Travis 101, and we had so much fun talking with Amy Kaufman of the LA Times about like the impact of this couple, why people are so fascinated with them, and we really hope you check it out if you haven't had a chance to do so yet. Also, we are recapping Love is Blind Season 6 over on our Substack, Rich Text. That's at claireandemma.substack.com. There's a lot going on this season and actually a few couples still at this point after the first drop. So please join us in this journey.
Our next episode will be coming out on Thursday. So
yes,
get subscribed.
And on that note, I think we're ready to get into this episode in Montreal. We have a cold open again. Joey and Maria seem to be on a one-on-one finally. They're in the back of like a vintage car-style white stretch limo. She's quizzing him on his French. We hear him say that he's tried to learn some, but it hasn't stuck. We actually later see that this is clipped in from an earlier conversation. But inside, we see her asking him to say, je t'aime. And he says it, and she gasps and says, merci. And he's like, what does that mean? And she's like, just say it again. And he says it again, and she says, oh, merci. I was so obsessed with this moment.
I love it.
Like, we talked last episode about Maria's masterful, like, role reversals that she's doing, where it's like she's the bachelorette, and how this is typically a bachelor on the bachelorette move, like a man's move to make himself into the protagonist. Now it's Maria. She's the one hearing I love you, and she's responding, thank you. When have we
it's
ever
so
seen that?
Good.
It's incredible.
We have not. Oh, it's great. Maria really hits her stride this episode. I am just fully on board with her. She is just doing, she's having a lot of fun, and she's creating a dynamic we just really have not seen very often on this show, and I'm so excited to talk about it.
Me too.
But before we get there, we have to go to Canada.
Yes.
And you know some things about Canada. There's geese.
Yes.
There's woods.
Yes.
And there's the Canadian flag.
The three. And Jesse Palmer. It's crazy that we don't get an establishing shot of Jesse Palmer as they take us through the Canadian forest with the reddening leaves and the honking geese. But we'll get to Jesse later. We see Joey in a brown jacket and pants because he's a man of the Canadian woods. And he says, we're in Montreal. It's beautiful here. He really hit that here in an accented way that like every time I rewatched it, I was like, that's the thing that's standing out to me most. He says he knows he should be feeling great, but he's really struggling. They're down to 10 women and he's excited, but he's falling for multiple women and that scares him. As we will later learn, he's also afraid when he doesn't fall for women, it's very hard for him to be on this show. And so he's holding back in certain ways, and that's not what he wants to do. And he says he's really scared some of them will go home if he opened up about how he was actually feeling and that things won't end up working out, just like what happened on Charity's season.
And also so many seasons of The Bachelor.
Well, that's the thing.
The couple simply implode.
Later, he says he has some type of deep feeling that this might not work out. And I was like, is that deep feeling a basic knowledge of Bachelor history? Because yeah, that would do like, it.
He's like, I did get some hints about Clayton's season, and it seemed like it didn't go well for him.
There's one season also, of The Bachelor that has Colton, gone basically exactly also, the way everyone wanted. Sean Lowe, we yeah. salute you.
Yeah, Bachelors tend to implode. Although he is coming off of that good Gary energy.
Yeah, no, so I think he yet. Might be getting... They clearly also really supported Zach to the end, although it didn't go perfectly smoothly, to try to make that season turn out well. And I think they're doing their best for Joey. But if you feel like things might yeah. not work out, it's probably just because you know what's happened before. But I think we do have a little clip of his in the moment where he really like excavates some of his feelings of insecurity about being The Bachelor.
I'm trying to do my best to express how I feel and show who I am. It's just, it's hard to do that while also trying to be fun and be more light. And sometimes that's just not me. I'm not this like super energetic, here we go, Joey. Like that's not who I am. I just feel like sometimes people expect you to be a certain way. And it's just like, is it really me? I don't know.
Why do you feel like you need to be perfect?
I don't feel like I need to be perfect. I feel like people expect me to be. Most of my life, I've been struggling with the fact that I don't feel perfect. I feel like there's a lot that's wrong with me. And you like try to work through it, and it's tough. But I've always been my biggest critic, and I'm afraid of someone not accepting me for me.
Oh my God, where did they get this transcript of my therapy sessions? This is wild.
Well, I'm like, not only am I not perfect, but no one expects me to be perfect, and I'm offended by that.
Yeah, actually,
frankly.
That's true. I did feel like he was speaking directly to the audience. He was like, I can hear you out there saying that I'm perfect, and it's really putting a lot of pressure on me. Please stop.
The minute I start to see Joey tear up, like, I immediately start sympathy crying. It's just, I'm so into this Bachelor. It's really...
I know.
It's really a bad look for me.
I agree. Like, we're really showing our asses here, but we are obsessed with Joey, and we want him to never be sad or in pain. And when he opens up and gets vulnerable about his insecurities, like... all we want to do is rush in there and give him a big hug in the Canadian woods. But I thought it was also really fascinating that they like showed this, because we know that bachelors and bachelorettes, it's very stressful. They all have these moments of insecurity. I don't think we tend to see this level of like heart to heart on screen. No. Like we'll see like little bits like, I'm starting to worry about this, or I'm worried this won't work out. But this is just almost sort of like a random in the moment. It's not coming off of any big shock to him, where they're just like, tell us more about why you feel inadequate, Joey. And then they're showing us that as if to say, like, you're the reason, audience, that he feels this pressure, but also don't you just love him even more for how he's like talking about it so vulnerably?
Yeah, he's actually more perfect because he thinks he's not perfect.
Right. He doesn't know he's so beautiful and perfect, and that's what makes him perfectly Joey. That's what makes him beautiful.
I also found it pretty interesting that they included him talking about, in a way, the labor of being the bachelor.
Yeah.
You know, he says it's hard to express how I feel while also being fun and light. And to me, that is speaking to the fact that this job requires the bachelor to always be on
yeah.
and in host mode and making everyone feel comfortable and setting the tone. And he's tired and insecure. And yes, I think you're right. I'm sure so many, probably every single lead has moments like this. But with Joey, that's part of the persona that they want us to really have a sense of.
Yeah, it's true. It is literally emotional labor, a term that is often misused. He's describing emotional labor and how taxing it is. And it's funny because they have shown us a Joey who does seem super energetic. Here we go, Joey. I was like, what do you mean that's not who you are? That seems like basically who you are. But it's taxing on him to maintain that and to be camp counselor Joey all season. So it's interesting that they're letting us see that side of him. They're like taking their own advice almost. Like, you have to open up and be vulnerable to let someone fall in love with you. And they're like, maybe we should do that with The Bachelor. Interesting thought.
They are, in fact, letting us fall in love with him. So we cut finally to classic introductory shots of the streets of Montreal, upbeat music. All of the women are walking around in their coats, shouting, "Bonjour." They're standing in front of big signs that say, "Bonjour, Montreal."
Yeah, they're doing all the classic
Montreal
stuff,
if you will. Yeah, I was just really having a hard time during this date, trying not to just figure out every spot that they were at, because I did live in Montreal for 4 years for college, and I was just like, "Ooh, where are they? Ooh, where's that Fairmont?"
Emma's gonna have to drop the Instagram carousel of all of the times that she was pictured at a place that appeared on this show. The side by side,
I am Joey. I think we could really connect. We could really connect over it.
You should just pop like up and be like, "Don't you want to spend this day in Montreal with your favorite person who went to college in Canada?" It's me. Leia gives an in the moment about everything Canadian she knows. She wants to chug a gallon of maple syrup. She's heard the bacon here is different. And she would love to ride a moose. A moose. She would love to ride a moose. I actually don't know where she heard this about Canada.
There are moose in Canada.
Right.
That's true.
Yes. Who told her she would get to ride one?
I don't think they're the traditional riding animal, and certainly not in the downtown of a very bustling city.
Traditional riding moose. Yeah.
I love the way that they talk about Montreal as if it is like the wilds of Canada, and it is an extremely populous, cosmopolitan city.
Yeah, the first word I thought of was cosmopolitan when I think of Montreal. Maria shows off her conversational French, because she is, of course, Canadian, by rehearsing her half of a conversation with Joey, asking how he is. And she says, "I'm really hoping Joey wants to spend his first day in Canada with his Canadian." She like twirls her scarf.
I think she says his favorite Canadian.
She says both, actually.
A bunch of them.
She says both. She's like, "Why wouldn't he want to spend it with his Canadian?" Then later she's like, "Of course he wants to spend the day with his favorite Canadian." This is her line.
She realized that there's like five other Canadians left. Or maybe just two. Is Lexi the only other one at this point?
I can't keep track of the Canadians. They're everywhere. They're thick on the ground. Jesse is, as we forecast earlier, as happy as a pig in shit, because he fucking loves reminding everyone that he is a Canadian and he speaks French. Nothing makes him happier than like starting a group date somewhere where French is the language by just speaking French to everyone and watching the looks of wonder on all of their faces. Like, this guy, he speaks French. He's like, "Yeah, I actually call Montreal my second home and I'm so proud." And everyone says,
"I love it."
It's so cute. I love Jesse.
Me too. I really love Jesse.
He reminds them that the official language in the province of Quebec is French. And he asks Jess and Jen some questions about their feelings for Joey in French. And of course, they simply say, "Oui, oui," because that's what most people know how to say in French. In her in the moment, Jen reveals that she learned how to say, "I'm not wearing any underwear," while studying abroad, but she doesn't remember how to say it anymore. And I just have questions about where she studied abroad, that she learned how to say something in French, but it was only, "I'm not wearing any underwear."
Yeah, I was wondering that as well. Tell us more, Jen. So Jesse reveals that this week will begin with a group date, and it will happen right now, which means that the two women not invited on this date will both get one-on-ones. Jesse then just verbally reads out the invites. On the group date, Daisy, Caitlin, Kelsey A, Jen, Rachel, Lexi, Leia, and Jess. This means that Kelsey T and Maria are getting the one-on-ones, and that leaves Leia and Jess, I believe, as the two women. Oh, and Caitlin.
Yeah.
As the three women who have not gotten a one-on-one.
I wish Caitlin would have gotten a one-on-one. I can't bring myself to feel sad about Leia and Jess, but they're pretty bummed. Leia's like, "It sucks. I'm not jumping for joy that Maria got a one-on-one." And then in the moment, she says, "I'm just rooting for myself," in a way that it sounds like the producers asked her who she was rooting for.
Oh, yeah. Poor Leia, just really getting in her own way to the end. And the show is doing their best to leave us with a not great impression of her.
Yeah.
The edit is pretty brutal of Leia.
Yeah. The group date is a scavenger hunt through Montreal. Joey greets them all in the city, and he admits to them that he's been struggling because he's been having a hard time expressing his feelings. The clues are in French, and they left the main person who we know is good at French at the hotel. But I guess Lexi also knows some French because she figures out
she's Canadian.
She's not listed as being Canadian in her bachelor bio.
No, but she says it. Yeah. She's from Toronto. She's from Ontario. So she would have learned.
Yeah, it's confusing when they're like, I'm from Atlanta. Like Katie on Zach's season.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm from Austin.
I'm from Austin. Actually not. But she's Canadian.
Yeah. So fortunately, they have a sneaky Canadian to decipher that they need to go to a boutique to pick out a souvenir. They talk to an older local couple, of course, who like accost them and are like, why are you in Montreal? And they ask in both French and English, as you do when you are in a sort of bilingual nation.
I mean, look, when you enter any store in Montreal, they say bonjour, hi.
I love that.
And give you the option.
I love that so much. Beautiful city. Joey says they're all on a date, and the couple teaches them some romantic phrases like je t'aime, which apparently he immediately forgets. And in his In the Moment, Joey says, French always sounds like such a beautiful language, but it doesn't sound like that when I say it.
Honestly, I feel you, Joey, because when I try to do a French accent, it is absolutely disastrous.
Yeah, there's a fine line between like the delicate, like guttural R's and stuff and just like sounding like you're trying to hack something up, which is what it sounds like
exactly.
when I do it.
It's, yeah, it sounds really bad when I've given up.
They end up at a restaurant, apparently Jesse's favorite restaurant. There is a signed photo of him behind the chef who greets them.
So good.
And the chef is like, I'm going to show you how to make poutine or poutine. Jesse dropped off a bunch of ingredients. I love that Jesse is now the restaurant supplier.
Jesse's the restaurant supplier. And he's like, I have a lot of ingredients that are relevant to making poutine. Like all of these things that you would never find in poutine.
This is a setup. Like, what are they going to get fun footage out of everyone just making poutine with like the cheese curds and the gravy? No, they need someone like Jen to put pineapple, chocolate, and hot sauce on her fries.
Look, she is an innovator. Yeah. Pineapple, chocolate, sriracha. A classic combo.
Everyone is so aghast. I believe we have a clip of Joey dealing with this.
The person that's making the worst decision right now is Jen. That is not how I would make a poutine, but Jen's doing really well today, giving little moments that are making me feel special. Might as well do it.
Just like
touch.
There's so much going on.
Out of 10, what are we thinking?
Really?
Four.
Four out of 10.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Something about this episode like truly broke me. I rewatched this moment of Joey tasting her poutine like 5 times, the way that I used to like tape the moment of like Nathan kissing Haley on One Tree Hill when I was in high school and rewatch it so many times. It was like that. It was giving me dopamine hits. Why?
Me too.
It's just so
cute. Because the way he says it, he's like, Jen.
It's just so natural.
Natural.
Yeah. How many of these shows have we watched and like we rarely see people interacting in a way that seems like an actual couple that is natural and comfortable, like giving each other a little bit of shit. It's so cute. Yeah,
I'm getting that vibe both in Joey's dynamic with Jen and also in his dynamic with Maria.
Oh yeah, we're going to dig deep into that later.
And it really gives us something we apparently needed because I'm giddy.
I'm like, make every season like this. I'm enjoying this and it's not because of people crying, which is so weird. Kelsey A, meanwhile, is really struggling with going back to the group date setting. Jess is getting really defeated after still not getting a one-on-one. At this point, no one's happy with the group date setting. If they haven't had a one-on-one, they don't understand why. They feel ignored. If they have had one, it's really hard to go back to the group date after getting that really strong hit. Because especially when you get a later stage one-on-one, when he already knows you a little bit, it's intense. It starts to feel like he really picked you. And then you have to go back to being in a group with like 8 other women.
I also think that the only person who really has the personality to thrive in this setting is Jen.
Oh, yeah. She's killing it.
Which is why she does. She's killing it. And I just related to Kelsey because I would be the person that would get so in my head that I would just retreat to the background and not want to compete for attention and feel gross and anxious. I felt for all of them. It seems hard. And I was very impressed with Jen.
Yeah, Jen is like great at like finding those ways to get his attention by having a cute little bit with him, like the gross poutine, grabbing a kiss. And she doesn't seem visibly, you know,
shaken
by all the other women being there. Meanwhile, Kelsey and Caitlin are struggling so much. They take a moment on the side at one point to kind of commiserate about how this is the hardest group date yet. Kelsey is almost in tears. She's like, I feel insecure. I'm not an insecure person. But after the restaurant, this is like even the most challenging part, I think. They come across an accordionist and they all dance together. And of course, there are like 8 women mobbing Joey, trying to get a chance to be his dance partner. And there isn't enough time to dance with all of them. And then Joey initiates a dance circle. Suddenly, somehow, he's in the middle while they dance around him. And he's like, I feel like I'm about to be executed.
I was like, this really is giving Midsommar vibes. Like, Kelsey A says later, it felt very culty. And yes, all of the correct vibes have been identified. Joey is the maypole.
But despite how hilarious this moment is to me personally, the women are having a hard time with it. A lot of them are really on the verge of tears throughout a lot of what we see. They all end up playing street hockey together, and some of the women are like grabbing kisses, but that's even harder for the more, I think, shy women to see. And it's just like they're all in a very fragile place by the end of the day date. On that note, we're going to take a quick break. We will be right back with the night portion. Can you keep up? I like
love it. And we are back, and it's the night date, and Jess is already fighting tears. She feels like tonight is make or break. Lexi is also nervous. Frankly, all of the women are struggling. They're in their heads. They need reassurance.
Yeah.
And it's clear that this is the week that Joey is also struggling. Things seem to have taken a turn where everyone is feeling the weight of their connections and the pressure, and they all genuinely are into Joey at this point.
Yeah, and he is genuinely into enough of them that it's getting tricky to think of who to send home.
Almost, yeah, frankly, after this week, I was like, his final 6 plus Lexi, I think he is genuinely so into.
Yeah, I think he's like staring down the barrel of like, I'm going to have to start sending home women that I actually like. And that's when the question arises of like, what if I send home someone I actually like, and then someone else I kept who I actually like doesn't like me back? That's like actually a bad decision. Like the pressure is on. So as they all sit, they all talk openly with each other about how hard it is to see his other connections right in front of them. Rachel's like, I am comparing myself to you guys because you're all so amazing. Joey comes in and the vibe is noticeably very downbeat. And he's like, is everyone okay? And they're like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, I really believe it.
I actually loved this moment. Just another moment where Joey reads the room so easily.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, it was not a subtle message.
It was obvious.
They're all like, hi, Joey.
They're like, yeah,
we're fine.
Hi.
In the moment, he's like, they seem sad. I think I need to start sharing my insecurities and fears as a way to cheer them up.
He's like, I'm also depressed. Depression together is happiness.
Misery does love company.
It really does. So he grabs Caitlin first. She is tearful and struggling in her ITM, and she almost immediately starts crying when she sits down with Joey. She says that it's hard for her to see his connection with the others and just deal with the fact that she hasn't had a one-on-one. She keeps apologizing for crying, and Joey is assuring her, and he's like, I want to know so much more about you. I'm glad that you're sinking into this. But I think he really likes her, but it just is the type of connection that is notably less settled than some of the others.
It's behind. Like we've reached the point where the women that he does feel really strong about, he'll say things like, I have no doubts about us. I really see a future with us. And with women like Caitlin, who he has not even given a one-on-one to yet, there's a reason for that. And so he'll say things like, I want to know more about you, which I'm sure is true. but it doesn't mean that he really sees anything romantically with them.
Especially because there's just not more time.
Yeah.
So
next, we get some time with Kelsey A, and this is so different. I think it really throws it into relief. Yes. She's like, I want to be honest. I'm not an insecure person, but today there are a lot of emotions from last week. I kept trying to get myself in there, but I also want to feel wanted and not like I'm in the background. And that's how I felt today. And Joey, like, the way that he responds to her also felt like such a rom-com moment. He's like, you don't deserve. This is like a big climactic declaration. He's like, you don't deserve to ever feel like you're in the background. You can't be. It's impossible for you to be.
My God. Like, I didn't realize people spoke like this ever.
It's so romantic.
I've certainly never been spoken to like this.
Me neither. And he's like, you have so much warmth and brightness. I have zero doubts.
I mean, she's, again, final two.
Yeah. Major frontrunner vibes. He clearly, he's like, basically, like, I was excited to see you today and tell you, like, how much I noticed you today and, like, how like, drawn I am to you.
He's just so into Kelsey into her. And so drawn to her.
And then she says, I told you I'm a klutz and that I fall fast. And then she kind of mutters, I'm falling for you. And he's like, did you just whisper that? Say it one more time. And she says it again and they kiss and he looks so happy. And Kelsey also afterwards is beaming. She's like, my cheeks hurt from cheesing. Joey gives me so much validation. I'm back up in the clouds.
Yeah, these two are, it's on for these two.
Yeah.
Then we see Lexi approach Joey for a conversation. She has a practical question. She needs to see if they're aligned on timeline. Does he want kids for real? And like, if so, is that urgent in the way that it is for her? She's like, does he want to move to the suburbs? Does he want a minivan? Yeah.
He immediately,
we need to figure it out.
Yeah. The minute they sit down, he checks in with her. He's like, I noticed you seemed a little off here and there during the day. And she's like, you're so observant. Thank you for saying that. It's, first of all, really hard to see those other connections at this point. But also, I've been thinking a lot about timeline. What is your timeline for, like, marriage and kids? And he says, you know, in my head, and this could change, but in my head, it's a 2 to 3 year engagement and then a couple of years to really enjoy the marriage before having kids. This is like a 5 year timeline. Lexi is 30. She has fertility challenges, and she wants kids. So that is obviously not a good timeline for her. You can see her face fall when she hears that.
Yeah.
And she tells him, you know, that response really shows how seriously you're taking this. And she's like, I really needed this talk. I've never had anyone be so caring. You've really showed me a different type of affection that's patient and kind. And he says, you're amazing. I have to say that when she responded to him, I was like, it's already over. Like, that was sort of like a breakup response. She's like, basically, thank you for what you've given me. You're wonderful.
Yeah, I think that she needs time to really fully come to that realization. Yeah. But there's a big part of her that knew in that moment that, like, that's just, it's a very reasonable timeline for Joey.
Totally.
But it's not going to work for Lexi, right? And that's that. I actually found this split between the two of them to, which we'll get into more later, but to be so interesting because it is such a real and reasonable thing for both of them to articulate.
And I think what Lexi was really looking for, because he's so into her and he says he's open to changing it, I think that she could have maybe pressed a little bit and been like, what if it were me, like, would we be able to do it sooner? I think she was sort of like, I want him to be enthusiastic about it. If he were like, you know, I'm flexible. Like, if I'm with someone who really wants to start sooner, like, we could start sooner. I really want a family. And, like, if it starts next year or in 5 years, that, but he had a timeline in mind. And you can see her being like, it's probably over because I don't want to be the reason that he's pressured to completely abandon that timeline. It's just too much on the relationship.
Yeah. Ugh, it's a lot.
And she, you know, yeah, she says afterwards she needs to process the conversation. But it seemed to me like a part of her knew it was kind of over at that point.
I totally agree.
With Jen, Joey toasts to a group date where she made him feel special. He's always like, you did such a great job. She did a great job with making me feel special. Jen is always doing such a good job. And she's like, you did a great job with these little touches and looks and some dumb conversation. And she's like, dumb conversation? He's like, well, like a good dumb conversation.
He's like, I need some lightness. And you bring that.
She's an escape for him. She's a break from like the constant like seriousness. Not that she doesn't have a serious side to their relationship,
right,
but that it's not always in the foreground when they're interacting. And then Jen says that she is falling for him. And he says, oh. The way that they interact is like so interesting to me because I can't quite tell if they have like a really amazing romantic chemistry or if there's an element of it that's a little bit like he's coaching her. Like there's a little bit of like, yeah, good job, Jen. Like, oh, you're saying that you're falling for me. Way to go. Like hitting this. You know what I mean? It's like right on that edge where I'm like.
It is, which is why I'm curious to see how things play out next week, because I think they have a great connection. But I do wonder if it doesn't rise to the level of I want to meet your family.
Yeah, I'm really curious about that. She says that it scares her. And Joey says, hearing that gets me so excited about what could continue to grow. That's what she said.
There's a lot of
that was way better.
That
was an even better one than the later one that actually happens on the show, by the way. That's a true. That's what she said. They kiss. I almost expected them to start laughing because it was such a like blatant accidental double entendre. But after this, we see Joey saying that he's on cloud nine and wanted to jump up and dance after she said that. And he says, when you hear someone say it to you, you know. I feel like I'm getting closer to being ready to say it. This is what perfectly sets up, of course, the interaction where he hears it and he knows in a bad way.
Yep. So at this point, it's time for Joey to talk to Jess. And Jess is absolutely spiraling. I mean, the thing is that Jess has a sense that their relationship is not going that well. And she is trying to stay calm, trying to pump herself up. But it's just, it's a shitty situation.
Yeah.
She says, like, stupid Jesse, you're good, baby.
Yeah, you're good, baby.
In like an Austin Powers voice. Yeah. And when she finally gets time with Joey, she does tell him, you know, the group date was hard. She says, at the beginning, she was excited. You know, any time with him is time well spent, but it was difficult seeing his other connections, especially because she hasn't had a one-on-one yet. And this is when she tells him she's falling for him. And he looks like a deer in headlights.
Yeah. He looks frozen.
Smiling, but not in a great way. She says it's just scary because she hopes he's feeling the same things. And it's clear that Joey has to admit now that he is not feeling the same things.
Yeah. And he just had this moment, according to the edit, at least, with Jen, where she said it and he felt amazing. And now he's having a moment. And with Kelsey, too, with Kelsey A, he felt great when he heard both of them say that. And he is not feeling that right now. So what does he do about it? And he says, you know, to hear something like that, it feels so good. The problem is, you kind of feel like you should be able to picture it. And I don't know why, but I just haven't been able to get there. And he tells her that he knows it's not easy to hear, but she deserves his honesty. She's unbelievable. She deserves the world. It's not right to keep her there. Jess's face falls, obviously, but she says it's okay. And he walks her out. This is the first time I think we see Joey send someone home outside of a designated like rose ceremony or two-on-one setting.
Yeah, I'm glad he did this. Yeah. It was the right thing to do.
Ironically, right after our buddy Nick Vile made headlines by saying on his recap that Joey was too much of a people pleaser to do this. And it's true. Nick was very like cutthroat. He was constantly sending people home on his season. And this was exactly one of the heuristics that he talked about, which is like when they said something to me like, I'm falling for you, if I didn't feel it in that moment, that's when I knew. So he was constantly sending people home right after they said that they were falling for him. And it's you know, if it works, it's a tried and true strategy. But I think Joey did the right thing here.
Yeah. And also we see that this is going to start taking a toll on Joey to send anyone home, even people who he knows that it's not right with.
He is a people pleaser. I don't think that like it's such a terrible thing to say that. No one is like the absolute perfect person. And Joey does have this, I think, fear of hurting people that can make being the bachelor really hard. That doesn't make him a bad person or even a bad bachelor.
No, honestly, I would have similar instincts if it was me. Like I think when you are a person that prides yourself on your empathy, you can do something where you put yourself in the other person's shoes so intensely that you start to it goes on overdrive a little bit.
Yeah. And the key with the being the bachelor is just that you have to be able to do what Joey does here eventually and say well, it's hard for me to do this. I want to just say the thing that's going to make you happy, but I know that that is not the right thing to do. And ultimately, he sends Jess home. In the moment, he really agonizes over rejecting her after she opened up to him, because that's what he fears will happen to him, and he's doing it to someone else. I'm like, strap in. That's all that's ahead of you. So much of the same kind of interaction. He says, I would love to be falling for Jess. She has so much love to give, but you can't fake that stuff. So outside, Jess asks if there's something she did, and he says no. And in the limo, she sobs and says, that is like the last thing I expected. I just feel stupid. I didn't expect not to be able to say bye to anyone. Here for the friendships in the end.
I know. It really does suck when they're just sent home and let out and they don't even have a chance to hug their friends goodbye.
That's the thing.
Such a sudden expulsion from this very intense bubble.
Right. That's the thing. In a way, it actually is just kinder to do it at the rose ceremony so they can say goodbye to their friends, even if it's kind of lying to them for 2 hours. But it was coming. He needed to do it. Inside, Joey is really struggling with the guilt. He seems to be venting to producers. He's like, that takes so much courage. And then to just get crushed right after, it's the right thing to do, but it's such a hard thing to do. He is not going to survive the end of this season. This is just Jess. They barely knew each other.
I know.
They spoke a couple times. When he has to send someone that he's genuinely into home, it's going to be
It's
going to
be so brutal.
He's going to spend years in therapy after this season. Inside, he returns to the group and tells them he sent Jess home, and then he gives the group date rose to Jen.
Let's talk about Kelsey T's date.
Yes.
Kelsey. Which, frankly, has a less stressful energy in certain ways, and I guess not in others.
Kelsey T is just it's funny because she's so nervous. She's like, I have a lot of nervous energy right now. When she meets him outside, she's visibly fidgeting with nerves. And despite this, she exudes a calming energy at the same time. Whenever she's on screen, I feel what Joey feels. It's like she's like a gravity blanket for me, where I'm just her soft voice and her mannerisms and the way that she talks about things. I just find it very soothing.
Yeah, she makes you feel so comfortable, and she's so serene.
Yeah. And she's, despite not being serene at all herself, she's like, my trust level is at 0.0%. I have walls up. I'm very nervous.
And yet her vibe is still serene.
Yes. How does she do it? I'm the opposite. I'm amazing, Kelsey, and I still make everyone around me feel nervous.
Exactly. I'm a Kelsey T stan because I want to be her.
In his In the Moment, Joey says that his connection with Kelsey is real and potent. There's a strong physical connection, but it's time to open up and really test it.
This would have been a great segue if they were going to a perfumery, but no, they're doing Cirque
Our connection is strong and acrobatic and flexible. It's very live. Joey's we're doing something no one else gets to do by training to be part of Cirque du Soleil. This was also the Ashley's two-on-one with Brad Womack, if you remember.
Yes, iconic.
After they watch an acrobat practice her routine, she descends and explains that she'll be training them and testing their trust in each other. They start with some trust falls, which we know Joey takes very seriously, and they do great.
Of course.
They do some tandem loosening up exercises. We hear Kelsey say that she trusts Joey. She hasn't always trusted previous partners. He makes her feel very supported. And then they start doing some exercises where they're twirling. They're in harness, they're getting whipped around, that sort of thing. And Joey is not okay. He quickly finds that he cannot handle being twirled around this much. He is so dizzy. They actually do some artsiness with the footage to make it sort of wobbly and doubled to show how woozy he's feeling. he's like, I need Dramamine. And I was like, Joey, stick with me. I always have Dramamine. I have ginger chews for you. You know, we could get you some acupressure bracelets.
Yeah, you're like, I understand motion sickness.
I've been sick for so many reasons in my life. I know how to help you. After training, he says he's still not over the dizziness. Like, he's just like waiting for it to go away. And he's struggling. He's like, right now, I'm just focusing on trying not to die. He and Kelsey sit and he tells her he's still feeling sick and she comforts him. I really felt for Kelsey, to be honest, on this date. She finally got this one-on-one and Joey's like sick. He's green around the gills.
I know. He's so unwell.
So poor Kelsey finally got her one-on-one. Joey's like too sick to really fully be present, but he's doing his best. And she's like, I'm going to go into the night date with a lot of trust in him that he will accept me for me. Back at the hotel, meanwhile, Lexi is freaking out. She's still been like sitting with this conversation with Joey about the timeline. And we see her confiding in Maria about this conversation. Maria is also shocked by the length of his timeline, although it seems like a pretty normal timeline for a 28-year-old man to me.
Yeah, I was like, the shock is confusing to me. But I do also think that maybe Maria was just like, she's really close with Lexi, yeah, clearly.
Yeah.
And I think there's like an empathy there of like, yeah, oh no, like this, I see that this isn't really going to work for you.
Yeah. Lexi is like, I just don't know if the timing is right. And she says she needs to talk to Joey again. At this point, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with the rest of the episode. Can you keep up? I like, love it.
And we are back. And that night, Joey and Kelsey luckily get to just have dinner in a beautiful place instead of having to perform Cirque du Soleil live in front of a captive audience.
God, can you imagine? What a nightmare. Terrible date that would be. Kelsey is in black leather. She looks gorgeous. They walk to like a stunning old church or something to have dinner. And she tells Joey that she had a lot of nerves and she's not sure why, because they always have a great time. And he says, you know, I really appreciated you today. I did not make things easy at times with my inability to handle spins. It's always getting in the way of finding love, my inability to handle spins.
I know. Sometimes you got to spin for love. And when you can't, it's just it's devastating.
Like, I'm not making things easy because of my nausea. And they praise each other for like how they both showed up during this trying time and how that shows how amazing each other are. And then Kelsey says she does have feelings for him, but with hometowns coming up, she wants to be very comfortable. This is the cue for her to start sharing about her family trauma. She basically reveals that she's had a tough relationship with her dad. When she was young, they were very close. They played video games together. They talked about everything. And she says, and he stopped talking to me for a very long time. And Joey understandably is like, I'm confused. What do you mean? How? Why? Kelsey says it was the religion. He wanted her to focus on that and be in the religion. But in her heart, she knew that wasn't where she wanted to be. She chose to go to college and he didn't support that. And she says, anyone who's in his household had to be in the religion. And so I wasn't allowed to be there anymore. And that hurt. I guess based on how she was talking about this, that it was Jehovah's Witness, and that is correct. I looked it up later. She is, her father raised her in the Jehovah's Witness.
That sounds so hard.
Yeah.
And also the minute she started saying the religion, I was like, oh God, so many religions are just,
I mean, talk about sounding cults. Like a cult. Like once you're calling right, it the exactly. religion, you must be in it to be in the household. She's so emotional. And she kind of handles this by speaking in a whisper and smiling really broadly to get through it. You can see that she's used to having a lot of control over expressing her emotions. She does dab away a few tears. She says she went to live with her mom after this happened with her dad. She says it messed with me so bad, I didn't understand it. And it really affected her trust in relationships and men specifically. If someone can be there for you in the beginning and then just totally go away, like how do you ever really trust what's being offered to you? In his In the Moment, Joey says, I feel bad. I do. She's been through a lot. She should always feel like she deserves to be loved.
She should, Joey.
She should. The way that he started saying it, though, almost sounded like he was about to be like, I feel bad, I do, but like, what am I going to do? You know, there was that kind of tone. I feel like he's just so shredded with like all of the emotions by this week.
I know. And he's trying so hard to be so specific to that person's pain. And he, you know, look, he does a pretty good job. And Kelsey says that her relationship with her father is a work in progress. They have started, I guess, rebuilding in the last few years, but he missed large, important parts of her life. She is 31, I believe.
Yeah. And it sounds like this happened when she was around 17 or 18.
Yeah.
Joey thanks her. He's like, it's not easy to share. You have every reason to have those trust issues, but the way that you're working through it shows how resilient and strong you are. And Kelsey says that she really feels like he understands. That means a lot. And she tells him that she does want a husband. She wants to love. So the things that she's feeling for him, it's amazing. He beams. He says he's happy to hear that. And she whispers, Joey Joe. This is like her nickname for him. I never heard it before, but she says it to him like four times this episode. I like it.
I'm into it.
They kiss. In the moment, he says that she's strong and grown, and he feels even more connected and bonded to her. He says, I do believe she can be a great wife. He gives her the rose. They watch a Cirque acrobat perform while string musicians play. I'm getting, to be honest, from this date that he really, really likes her, but it's not going to be final two.
I agree.
It's sounding a bit removed.
Yeah, I suspect that Kelsey T will go home next week. Yeah. Hometowns.
Yeah. Like everything he's saying is like, I feel bonded to her. I believe she'll be a great wife. But these are sort of like words of friendship and admiration more so.
Yeah. And I think he does deeply admire her, but I totally just don't think. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be the relationship for him in the end. So cut right to the next day. The women are all sitting in their suite's living room, pumping Maria up for her date. She's very nervous that she's going to get thrown into an adrenaline date. She really does not want to jump out of a plane. Relatable.
Yeah. That would be so mean, too, after hearing about her, like, traumatic history. And we learned from her TikTok that she also shared with him that she was, as an adult, in a really bad car accident, in addition to the one she was in as a baby. So to put her on an adrenaline date would seem really mean to me.
Yeah, I agree. I'm happy they did not, in fact, do that. The minute that a butler arrives saying, bonjour, it's very clear, at least to those of us who have a deep knowledge of this show, that she will be getting some form of the pretty woman date.
Yes. She heads down. Joey is waiting for her in front of that vintage car style stretch limo that we saw earlier. Maria is like, I think he saved this date for his favorite Canadian. They immediately just have like such a good vibe. I love them together. They bring out like a really fun, funny, natural side of each other. And Joey's like, I feel like I can just be with Maria.
That's the greatest compliment you could give someone. Like, I can just exist with you. Like, that isn't that what you want from a relationship?
Yeah.
This is the point where Maria starts taking advantage of Joey's utter lack of French comprehension. We have a clip.
Say, voulez-vous coucher avec moi?
No, because I can tell it's a bad word. You're just going to get me in trouble in another language.
No, it's fine. Say boo?
No, I'm not saying it until you tell me what it is. Oh, I would have said it.
They're just so normal. We see lots of them like giggling together. I love their dynamic. It just seems like they're always finding a way to laugh. And part of that is even taking these moments of the bachelor date that are very kind of formulaic and trite and romantic, like giving each other compliments and referencing the date structure. And it's just an opportunity for them to kind of like ham it up and puncture that sentimentality a little bit. Like they start giving each other compliments and they're both like just being so over the top and silly with it that they're just cracking each other up. And it's just like fun to watch. I feel like it's never fun to watch actually the people on dates just like hanging
out.
It's weird.
No, Maria is captivating.
Yeah. They both have like a lot of charisma and their chemistry is off the charts. So it's like
off the fucking charts. It's I love it.
Yeah.
It's very cinematic.
Yeah, it is. It's cinematic. She mentions that the women thought they might be jumping out of a plane, and he says they were right. And she says, I'm going to be pushing you out of a plane. I don't know about me jumping. And he says, with a completely straight face, I have zero doubts that you would. Like, they're just, like, having fun. I'm obsessed. I know.
I'm obsessed, too.
I wish we got this every season.
Joey is incredible.
It's one thing to, like, fall in love on camera. I believe a lot of them do. But to be able to, like, make the audience feel like we're part of that. And part of that's down to the edit, of course. Like, they're choosing to show these really fun, light moments between them instead of being like, oh, everything we show has to be so serious and show that they're taking this journey seriously. But it's also just that they have that quality.
Yeah, I think part of it is in the cast. Part of it is in the way that they're choosing to edit it. I hope that this would be a good lesson to them that in the future, even if you don't have a Joey-level lead, there are things that you can do to make the story feel more compelling to the audience. And we're getting both of those things here, which just makes it a banger of a season. So they pull up at a local boutique, Claudette by Claudette Floyd, and Maria gets to put on a little fashion show for Joey while delivering her own steady stream of commentary. Like, I feel like often in this situation, it's like The Bachelor would be delivering the commentary, but Maria's just doing it herself, and Joey is welcome to join in. Yeah. She's like, oh, this is a very Elvira vibe.
Yeah. She has always got something to say. She ultimately settles on a sort of sparkly champagne and green pleated gown, which Joey's like, that's the one. And she's like, I love that Joey chose my dress. She looks beautiful and everything, but I think it really fits her vibe.
It's really pretty. Yeah. I did look this gown up and it's gorgeous.
Joey then also changes into a fancy little blue suit with black trim. They get back in the limo and they're very giddy. They're like, oh, look at us. We're a classy little couple. And this is when Maria again tries to make Joey say things in French, and it works better this time. He says je t'aime to her repeatedly, which means I love you. And she says merci and kisses his cheek and snuggles up to him. She's such an icon with like the role reversal here. I'm so obsessed with it. And also I can't believe Joey has not yet learned that je t'aime means I love you. They literally taught him that earlier this week.
Also, Joey, this is the French phrase everyone knows.
It's a very basic
that phrase. Like je t'aime and j'adore. Come on.
Yeah. He says, with Maria, it just feels natural. I'm not really trying to overthink it too much because that's what the beauty of Maria and my relationship has been. He's one step closer to saying it correctly.
I know. I was like, it's not correct, but he doesn't do the Bachelor thing, which is to say Maria and I's relationship.
Yeah. Next time I want to hear Maria's and my relationship. You can also say our relationship if you want it to sound normal.
Or beauty of my relationship with Maria.
See, beautiful. The power of rephrasing. They pull up to a helicopter. Maria seems petrified. She's like, no, 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 no. And he's like, yeah, we're going to be jumping out. And then he's like, no, we're not jumping out. I promise.
And then her mood just markedly improves. She's like, okay. They didn't just dress me up to force me to jump out of a tiny helicopter.
That would be so mean.
So mean.
Instead, they are walking a red carpet to the helicopter where they sip champagne and take in aerial views of Montreal. I'm on such a high right now. Today was so special, Maria says. He made me feel so beautiful. And then she has to pause to like control her tears and says, I'm just really happy right now.
It was so interesting to see Maria get so emotional because she is someone with kind of like a stony exterior.
Yeah.
And she uses, you know, humor or kind of like she has a lot of deflection tools.
Yeah.
And this was a very tender moment.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think she's especially had such a rocky journey on the show and to be able to kind of really relax. Yeah. There must be some
relief. Yeah. No, you're so right. That's part of it. So, after we take a quick break for a Bachelorette casting promo delivered fully in French by Jesse Palmer.
They're trying to get those Canadians.
So excited.
Yeah.
So excited that they asked him to do this. We are back for the night portion of Maria and Joey's date. They pull up to the Rialto Theater, which I immediately recognized and realized that it is an old like vintage movie theater, which is now an event space. which is very close to where I lived in the Mile End neighborhood during university. And then I realized, oh, this is the exact theater that I used to go to in college to watch an like interactive Rocky Horror Picture Show screening. And it's like a genuinely very cool, very cool space.
That would have been a cool day too, to be honest. They did maybe the one thing that I would find cooler than that. There's a sign outside the theater that reads, "Je ressens tout." I feel it all. For us feist heads, this is a major feist tell. Very exciting.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. This is just such a good date. They, at first I was like, where are they? Because they're sitting down for their faux dinner in what must be some like office within the theater, because it is not the main room of the theater. And Maria tells Joey that she got emotional earlier in the best way possible because she just felt so great about the day. And she says, quote, "Today, because it was special towards me and only me, I felt that and I appreciate that so much."
Yeah. She's like, the two-on-one didn't count. Like, this is for me.
I mean, the two-on-one is just stressful, yeah, and misery.
And I do think, like, I know it's production who chooses a lot of the dates and makes a lot of those decisions. But whoever's doing the final decision-making, it's contributing to the sense that Joey knows these women really well, because it does seem like, yeah, he is picking really good dates for a lot of them that are exactly what they wanted. And this is such a Maria date, like with the cool fashion and then like an indie singer. Like, it's very her vibe. So Joey, you know, tells her that he also needed this date. I think we have a clip of his response.
"When I tell you like I need it today, I truthfully mean it, because there's always times throughout the week where you have those low points. And just a day like today where I can just have a good time and not think about much, like, it doesn't go unnoticed that you brought that out of me today."
"Oh, you bring that out in me too. Like, I can be just so in my head. But yeah, every time I'm with you, all of that goes away. You know, today was just an example of that. I think we get along, we make each other laugh."
It's just such a mutual dynamic.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the Pretty Woman date can feel sort of like, you know, and that is kind of the idea of the Pretty Woman date, is like, oh, he's just plucked up this sad little person and is like lavishing things on her while she's like, oh, thank you. But whenever he's with Maria, it does feel very even-handed, like they're...
Yeah, I was going to say it's a very different vibe of the Pretty Woman date than we normally get, which is either, yeah, this big man lavishing gifts on this little woman, or the way that they often use it, which is to have the woman... like, have the date drum up tension in the house, like, by having the woman, like, walk through with shopping bags or something. And neither of those things happen here.
Yeah, which is really interesting. They could easily use it to reignite the Maria situation. And I think it was a good decision that they didn't, because
I agree.
It's so much fun to watch this dynamic, and people are really enjoying their relationship. So why ruin it? Maria tells the camera that she likes everything about Joey. She likes how he listens to her, respects everything about her, allows her to be herself, and puts her mind at ease.
I just felt like these were such lovely and specific compliments about Joey, and they feel accurate to Joey's strengths in a relationship. And I think we've been complimenting Joey for doing that for these women, but it's nice to see the women do that for him.
Yeah, I feel like often... it's the women struggle to do that because they're like, I think I just like him because he's the bachelor, but they don't actually know that. And so it's really been fun to see how much these women really like Joey and can identify the things they like about him, and vice versa. Like, it's just feels so wholesome in the best way, not in like a bland way, but like there's something real going on between all these people. There's no trauma dump on this one-on-one. I think mostly because Maria already shared her big trauma on a group date or in a cocktail party. Because they were like, you might not get a one-on-one anytime soon. It's time to share your backstory now.
But that actually was kind of a gift for the audience, because it means that we get this entirely different vibe during this, this more serious time on the date.
Yeah, I agree. Normally, it can kind of bog down the only conversational part of the date. And we see so much conversation between them that isn't about trauma at all, which gives a much more well-rounded sense of who she is. She also does mention that she was in a past relationship where an engagement was dangled, but he kept putting it off to the far future. And so she ended the relationship. She says she just wants someone to mean what they say. And to her, an engagement means marriage next. Joey says that's his intention. And, quote, the thought of this not working out scares the living bleep out of me. And
I think he said shit.
Probably. And Maria tells Joey that she loves every minute with him and she's falling for him in ways she didn't expect, all the different ways that you fall for someone. She says, you make me happy. You truly do. And he says she makes him happy. She makes him happy too.
This date ends on a tiny constructed dance floor in the middle of the theater while Canadian indie pop singer-songwriter Feist plays. Feist. I screamed.
Oh my God.
I was like, finally, a musical artist I know on this show. As I was taking notes when it got to this point, I literally paused for 20 minutes so I could just start listening to old Feist songs.
Oh,
I did a little like 1, 2, 3, 4, Mushaboom. It really just brought me back to my college days.
I literally did this date. I went to a Feist show with my boyfriend when I was
in
college.
Were you on a tiny stage, just the two of you?
No, we were in a tiny little area of ground at the Greek Theater in Berkeley, but it was similar vibes, very similar for sure. And also his friend was with us. So more of like a two-on-one situation, but very romantic. I love Feist. And Maria is like, is this Feist? Feist is so Maria coded. And she starts crying as they slow dance. She like smooths his hair back. She like drapes herself over him.
It's so cute.
They both they have so much chemistry. It's so like sensual. This is really working for me. I was like, oh my God, like what am I feeling? I'm feeling like oxytocin. I'm feeling like I'm watching like the end of like one of my favorite rom-coms. I'm really
like.
Yeah,
they're giving us rom-com.
Oh
like we get
God.
This a few times during this episode and it is just, it's so good. I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it with them. Now I feel certain that Maria's going to Final Four.
If she doesn't, there's going to have to be something wild that happens because this is like it just jumps off the screen. Joey says, I want to be in this with her and spending all this time together. That's telling. He gives her the rose. Afterwards, she's like such a sweet, weepy mess. And she tells the camera she got to drop her walls. And he says, after this, I can let go of my worries. I know I'm going to find my wife.
Oh. Right when Joey is starting to feel great, it is time for Lexi to dump him, of course.
Yeah.
So we cut back to the Fairmont, and Lexi is walking down the hall to go meet Joey. She tells the camera, like, she believes that she was meant to meet him. Their connection is undeniable, but two people need to be on the same page in the same book for the relationship to really work, and she's worried that they're just in different places in their lives. They make it seem like she hasn't made the decision yet, but it's pretty clear that she has.
Yeah. No, she's like, I'm worried we're in different places in our lives, but not in a way like maybe we'll figure out we're not. It's more like that's why I need to leave. I really think, again, that this decision was basically made as soon as he told her his timeline. She knocks on his door. He seems sort of surprised to see her. It's not the usual time for a conversation between them. And she just launches right in and says that she's been reflecting on their earlier conversation. I believe we have a clip.
I know that you want more of a long engagement and you want after this to take some time before kids. And sorry, I don't mean to get emotional, but that's just like not something that I like have the privilege to do right now with like my health situation. I could look back to our one-on-one in Malta. Like I can sincerely say that like I felt so heard and respected and like you made me feel like a whole person that like I've never felt that way in a relationship before. And, like I hadn't opened up to anyone else about my health and like what having a family would look like to me. And I will forever remember that conversation. But as someone who has infertility, like, I have to take that really seriously as I date, knowing I'm in my 30s now. And that's just something that is gonna have to happen probably at a little bit of a faster pace for me. And I think it'd be unfair to keep me here when, like, I'm just on a different timeline.
Oh, they're both like weepy at this point. He seems really stricken. I also want to, like, on a lighter note, say it's sort of funny to me how deeply the bachelor phrases are ingrained in us that she actually says it would be unfair to keep me here, when what she probably means to be saying is it would be unfair for me to stay and, like, take a spot. But, like, we're so accustomed to being like, oh, it would be unfair for me to keep you here when you have a child at home. It would be unfair for me to keep you here. Like, that's the formulation. So she just falls right into that. But she's the one who's like, I need to remove myself. And Joey was not expecting this.
No, he says he's honestly stunned, and he says he'll never forget Malta. And he reiterates what she said on their date, that he felt so good that she felt comfortable enough to share her health history with him. And he says he did see a potential future with her, and her health issues didn't scare him. But he did realize that they'd have to get on the same page. He said he was thinking about, what does this mean for her? Does it mean she needs to have kids right away?
Yeah.
And the whole thing is just really sad, because it's a breakup that occurs in no way because of their lack of affection for each other. And that's always a hard breakup to watch. It's a practical breakup.
Yeah. Lexi says that it will be really hard to open up to someone else and get a similar response, which is such a sad thing to hear. She's like, you're just so kind and amazing. And it's clear that she's like, I'm going to go back out there and other men are not going to be as kind about this. He whips out those classic thumbs and wipes her tears away. And he basically says, I was hoping we could talk about this next week and figure out whether we could make it work, but you wouldn't be here now if you didn't feel this strongly about it, and I understand. I really think that Lexi just doesn't ultimately want to end this show with him feeling like he needs to alter his timeline for her, and, like, the pressure that would put on them, because it's clear that, like, he's open to talking about it. And I think it just, like, freaks her out that she would be the reason that he was moving much faster than he actually wanted to.
Yeah, I agree. Especially because there's already so much pressure on any couple that comes out of this show. And I also think she can probably see that there are other women there who have a great connection with him who don't have the pressure of this timeline.
Yeah.
And so, like, how much more painful would it be to get further down the road and then ultimately come to the same conclusion?
Exactly. It's like, best case scenario is they end up together and she feels like she's put a lot of pressure on the timeline that he didn't want to be there, and he's just doing it for her. Worst case scenario is she stays longer and he ends up going with someone who's more aligned with him on timeline because he has so many good connections, and that will hurt really badly. So it's like, better to leave and avoid all of this. And they're both really, really sad. I think we have another clip of Joey here.
I hate this. This isn't what I had in my head or what I thought was gonna happen. But you're gonna get everything that you want, and you're gonna make a remarkable mother.
Thank you.
Oh, there was something so moving to me about that.
Yeah. That was a very kind, beautiful, kind way to end.
They share just a very sweet and devastating parting hug, and Joey tells the camera he feels crushed. He said he could see Lexi as his wife, so it feels weird to just have that connection end. And he was willing to figure it out and talk it through, but he says, quote, it doesn't feel right to let someone that special walk out. Oh, poor Joey. Lexi goes back to the suite, and she tells Daisy and Maria that she was like, I wanted to tell the two of you that I've ended things with Joey and I'm leaving. And they both just immediately start crying. Another very sweet friendship moment.
Yeah. She wonders to the camera if she made the right decision, but she says, you can't make someone ready for something that they're not. He doesn't need to be ready for that right now. That's okay. But I'd be remiss to say it didn't break my heart.
Lexi.
It's just, it seems like such a mature decision to me.
Exactly. Like, just, I actually loved that they showed this kind of breakup because this felt so real to me.
Yeah.
Especially when you get into your late 20s, into your 30s, later in your life, and you have a better sense as an individual of what it is that you need and want.
Yeah.
And it's no longer just, did I find someone who likes me and I like them? But did I find someone that's going to be on the same page with me about the decisions that we want to make for our lives?
Yeah, 100%. It's a very real conversation. I definitely had that conversation even when I was 25 in my relationship because I knew what my timeline was. And that's such a normal thing that we rarely see discussed. But this really reinforces Joey's insecurities from this week that all the women he loves are going to leave him and reject him. He's like, I just don't want to end this alone. It's a good thing he has like 7 women left who are amazing and obsessed with him. He just needs one.
Yeah. Joey, it's going to be okay, bud.
The next day, he puts on his gray plaid suit to get ready for the cocktail party. He's still terrified they're all going to leave, but he must soldier on. Meanwhile, the women are also shaken by Lexi's departure. The ones who don't have roses are getting pretty anxious. Leia is actually the only one we see sounding an optimistic note. She's like, I'm feeling pretty confident. You know, there's more pressure this week, but pressure makes diamonds. Not very nice of them to like, include
I know. I was like, okay, so they want us to think Leia's a little delusional about her connection. And also, obviously, she's going home.
Yeah. I do think she seems a little delusional. I mean, I wanted to touch on this because we didn't dig in that much last week on Leia, but I'm starting to think that production is totally punishing her for burning that card and sending like a bit of a message that if we give you something like this and you play to the rest of the women or men by tossing it away, we will make sure that you don't get a one-on-one. Like, you can't wait for your one-on-one. It's not coming. And we will drive you to madness and make you the villain. And that's not to say that she didn't make any of those choices. She absolutely did. And she does seem a little delusional. And she has been kind of a mean girl. But they have been absolutely playing that up in the edit.
100%. 110%. Like, it is happening on both ends, right? Like, she's making decisions. And also, they are pushing her towards and highlighting those qualities.
Yeah.
It's starting to feel mean.
Yeah.
On the part of the show.
I do think that, like, you know, it still could have been a good decision. If Joey liked her enough, she would still have gotten a one-on-one. They wouldn't keep him having a date with one of his front runners. But
Leia is 23. He likes her. I just don't see them having such an intense connection. Like, I just don't think that her energy is really the energy that he's most drawn to. And
so
it kind of left her in a bad position. And I still agree with her move in the sense that stealing a one-on-one from someone that he actually wanted to spend time with wouldn't necessarily endear her.
No, that would have been a disaster too. Like, it kind of was a no-win scenario. I feel like she took the best approach she could, but I do think that it also made production want to set a bit of an example.
Absolutely agree.
They're like, you will let yourself be drawn into horrible drama, or we will find another way to ruin your time here. Joey comes in and tells all the women about his terror that his love will not be reciprocated. It's like every time he sees them, actually, he is opened with his insecurities and how hard of a time he's having. And I don't think it's making them feel better yet, but it's totally valid for him to share how he's feeling with them. And I do support it. All of the women completely melt. They're like, oh, poor Joey. All of a sudden, all of them are like, Joey's been reassuring me this whole time. When am I reassuring him?
I need to reassure Joey. It is pretty hilarious because then it's just a series of women being like, Joey, you made me sad and you're amazing.
Yeah. You're always telling me that I'm amazing. When's the last time I told you that you are the kindest, funniest, sexiest guy I've ever met, because that's how I feel. And there are these trends. Like, there was a date or a cocktail party, the group date, where every conversation was about how insecure they all felt. And now it's every conversation is a conversation about how insecure he feels.
Yeah. Oh, God. Caitlin pulls Joey first, and she does this. She's like, your toast made me sad. And so she gives him a little pump up. She's like, I admire your compassion and emotional intelligence. I think I have a lot to learn from you. And this is when he says, thank you for trying to find a way to make me feel special.
Oh, brutal.
It's just
trying.
It's just, okay, it's not there, it's unfortunately. Not there. I love Caitlin, but it's just not there for them.
And she made it a lot further on his season than I think she would have on a lot of seasons, because she comes off as so 100%. Normal. Like, doesn't carry herself like an Instagram model. And he liked that, but like, he's not in love with it.
Right. Daisy's up next, and I thought that she did such a good job here. She starts off kind of on a somber note. She tells the camera, you know, it's getting tough on all of us to see that he's building so many great connections. She says, everyone's realizing, oh, I really like him, but that means he also might really like her. She also makes a little joke about like how the gloves are coming off as she removes her long green silk gloves, which perfectly match her strapless gown.
Gloves are back.
I loved it. I also love how Daisy's like, the gloves are coming off. And then her move is to be like, is to like make a little joke to Joey.
Yeah.
She's the least mean girl ever. She tells Joey that she lights up inside when she's around him, and she starts to take a serious tone. She's like, look, just really want to be open with you. And I have to warn you, it's make or break for me. Joey's face.
He's bracing himself. He's like, again.
He's like, oh no, he's starting to panic. And then she's like, can you give a good foot massage?
And she's like, I need them every night, maybe multiple times, and I prefer it hard. And they're like, hee hee hee.
I mean, that's what she said.
Yeah, that is truly what she said. I mean, she's not even hiding it. She's like, maybe this is a sort of a metaphor for something else that I like in my relationship. This definitely lifts Joey's spirits a little bit. And Jen is also someone who always lightens the mood for him. So during their time together, she does something a little bit risky. She's like, I want to teach you something. Like, you taught me how to surf. I want to teach you how to play the piano. The piano, inconveniently, is like in the room with all of the other women.
I'm going to say, I don't think this was the best.
I don't think this was a good idea.
I think it unnecessarily put the other women in a position to feel resentful or jealous. And there wasn't enough of a payoff to make that worth it.
Right. Yeah.
I also think Joey is really aware of when he's making the other women uncomfortable. Yes. So I like don't even think he could fully lean into it.
That's the thing. Like, Joey is Jen is the only person who doesn't seem to be distracted, although maybe she's just hiding it really well. Joey, like, is like, oh, God, all the other women are watching. The other women are like, oh, should we talk about the weather? Like, what are we supposed to do? And Jen's like, just keep talking. Don't mind us. They're minding. They're definitely minding.
Everyone's minding, Jen. Yeah. This isn't a good idea.
Teach him how to play piano by, like, playing on his back or something and turn it into a cute little back massage thing. I don't know. I thought this was a bad idea.
I also wondered if it was foreshadowing for potential drama with Jen next week.
Yeah, I think that it's possibly the case that, like, sometimes there are these little moments and then it bubbles up and we haven't seen the previous little moments, and so it's confusing. I think they're trying to, like, lay some of that groundwork here.
Seed something. Yeah, exactly.
While Leia and Kelsey get their little moments with Joey, we hear Rachel's running in the moment about how they just all have to remain in a good headspace and know that he's just trying to talk with everyone. Like, she's clearly bothered, but she's trying to be like, there's no reason to be bothered. This is just how the show works. And I just have to, like, roll with it. I'm going to stay focused on my connection to Joey and just really lean into that. So when they chat, of course, she immediately jokingly thanks him for serenading us. And he's like, oh, God. Yeah.
He's like mortified.
So mortified.
By the Jen moment. And she also says, you know, you always make me feel validated and I want to do that for you. And at this point, he's like, so I realized that my speech really scared a lot of people. Everyone seems concerned and feels the need to compliment me.
Yeah,
now.
This is like the Bachelor version of like vague booking something, and then you suddenly get like 15 texts from friends who are like, "Oh my god, I saw your tweet. Is everything okay?" And you're like, "Oh yeah, yes. I was just in like a bad mood today. I don't know."
At this point, Rachel says, "You really are amazing. Don't get in your head." And then she pauses and says, "I know you will, but..." And she doesn't even clock this moment, but Joey is so delighted by it. He just starts laughing and laughing, and she's like, "What?" And he's like, "Well, you said, 'I know you will.'" And you can tell that it makes him feel really seen and understood by her. Like, he appreciates that she sees that he's not just this, you know, 100% smooth, upbeat, unanxious person. He's like, "Oh, you get me."
He had that time at the beginning of the episode and he was like, "Everyone expects me to be perfect. Everyone expects me to be like energetic, get up and go, Joey." And now Rachel is basically saying, "I know that there is this other side of you where you're neurotic." And that's like,
and
that
she just
about
breezes
you.
By it. It's like the casual nature of the comment that I think made him feel so good. And he tells the camera, "I think overall this was a very successful week. So many women said nice things to me."
By that measure, Joey, this is a very successful podcast. And I just want you to know that this is a safe space for you for now.
We can absolutely never meet Joey because it will be too mortifying.
Don't meet your heroes, they say.
Yeah.
Before Joey leaves to prepare for the rose ceremony, he says that he'll be saying goodbye to amazing women. The women, there's like a rustle amongst them. They're all turning their heads like, "Women? Did he say women? Was that a mistake?" Because two women have already gone home this week, Jess and Lexi. They kind of clearly all hoped that there were only three women marked to leave, and so there would only be one rose. One woman going home at the rose ceremony, that is. And Leia's like, "The narrowing down has definitely begun."
It has, and it will continue.
And they're clearly all like clinging to that hope. They're like, maybe he made a mistake. Maybe it's only going to be one woman going home. But then they arrive for the rose ceremony, and there's a dramatic unveiling of the platter, and there are only three roses to give out. All the women turn and whisper to each other in horror. Two women are going home. Jen, Maria, and Kelsey T already have roses, and so there are three more women who are going to receive roses.
It was just so obvious who was going to get these roses at this point.
At this point,
Because Daisy and Kelsey A are just final four. Like, so obvious. And I think Rachel has really risen in the rankings for me.
Yeah.
So
I see all three of them as potential final four, and Caitlin and Leia are just clearly not. Like, you would have to have like a visible crack in a relationship for someone like Rachel to go home over someone like Caitlin, who hasn't had a one-on-one.
That's the thing. It's pretty clear.
Yeah.
So the roses go to Daisy and Kelsey A. And then before the final rose is given out, we get a voiceover of Leia, which I think was totally Frankenbitten together.
Yeah.
Because we don't see her saying any of it. And she says, "Come on, Joseph, make the right decision. Say my name." And to me, each of those sentences sounded pulled from a different clip. Like, the room tone was different in all three of them.
Completely agree.
So
also, you could get that probably from any rose ceremony that she's ever been in.
That's. They just really, again, they wanted to make her seem really overconfident to the end. And while I'm sure some of that is true, they're putting effort in.
Yeah.
And that was obvious.
But the final rose, of course, goes to Rachel. I like, Rachel is like kind of under the radar. I don't know if she's final four, but I just like love her.
I kind of think she is.
I think she's, the fact that she like wore glasses on their group date, like, I feel like she feels very like natural and unselfconsciously herself on the show that like we very rarely see these days now that the show has become so like veneers and like, you know, permed eyebrows and like all this stuff. Like he's drawn to these women who are not quite like that. And Rachel is for me, like, I love her.
It's so interesting because I think there are a lot of women who are doing so well on this season that with a different bachelor, we just wouldn't see. Like, even a Kelsey A.
Yeah.
Has this kind of different energy. Maria has a very different energy than we've normally seen. It's not self-conscious in that way, but it is.
Yeah.
She is fully realized and herself. And he is, he's very, very drawn. I think, honestly, all of the final six have bits of that.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Like, I think that Kelsey A is so interesting. She's obviously gorgeous. She looks like Julia Roberts. Like, she's stunning. But she does have that energy where if she said, I was bullied in high school, I would believe her. You know, she doesn't, like, inhabit herself in that way that, like, someone who's always been the popular hot girl does.
Yes, just that, like, preternatural confidence. She does not have that. And it's relatable to see that.
100%.
So, of course, Caitlin and Leia are going home. Rachel just immediately breaks down into tears as the two of them leave. Like, these friendships run deep. And sweet Kelsey A just lays her head on Rachel's shoulder and says, it's okay. It's good to feel emotions. I love them.
As she leaves, Caitlin tells Joey that he has a bunch of amazing women, but she's clearly super sad. She's beating herself up and she tells the camera she's disappointed. She didn't get a lot of time with Joey. She didn't show her full personality and she's kicking herself because she didn't really dig deep. And I hate that. I do hate when they leave feeling like they
did
something. It's their fault. Yeah, they did something.
You didn't, Caitlin.
Yeah, that's, I don't think she should leave with regrets. I think that they had a really lovely relationship. We saw some beautiful sides of her. And I just don't think people should ever leave feeling like they failed in some way just because they weren't the right person for the lead.
Yeah, I know. And I imagine it's so easy to feel that way. But so much of it is just about like an inherent chemistry or the choices of production. And I just hope these women feel like all of them gave what they could. And they honestly have all done a really great job of putting themselves out there. So,
yeah,
we love you, Caitlin.
Leia's bad edit continues. I feel like it's the most obvious in the whole episode. In her exit, that they are really, really leaning on this edit. I think we have a clip.
I think it's just unfortunate that I wasn't, you know, given the full opportunity to have that time with Joey and see what Joey and Leia really looks like. But that's truly his loss. Of course, I wish him the best, and I hope that his person really is in there. And I just hope that he can walk away with this with no regrets and no what ifs.
And then what's really interesting to me is what happens next. A producer asks Leia off screen if she has any regrets. And we see Leia sort of smiling through her tears a little bit, like looking down, but we don't get an answer. She probably did answer, but they show her as if she is not answering the question. And this, to me, is what really puts the edit beyond, like, this looks bad in context because she's been given a mean girl edit. Because I do think if we liked Leia, if she were presented as more of a positive figure, that could be a really empowering, self-confident way to leave. Like, it's his loss. Yeah. Like, I wish him the best, and I hope that his person is in there. But, like, I still feel like I'm a catch. And by ending it with that little tag, it's an extra flourish to be like, I'm sure you're all wondering if Leia regrets how she acted, and she doesn't.
Yeah, I think it is. It's a little final dig to make her seem particularly unself-reflective. Yeah. And it especially contrasted with Caitlin, who is putting it all on herself, who is so kind and generous to Joey as she leaves him and takes all the pain on herself. We see Leia foisting it off, which isn't inherently bad at all, as you said.
It's
frankly probably more emotionally healthy.
Yeah, I support it. Like, I honestly think it's kind of messed up to give her this edit and the exit, even though there's a lot of stuff she did that I don't like.
It's rude. That's why I think we wanted to talk about it, because it was just so obvious the hand shaping how yeah. we feel about Leia. And that doesn't take away from our criticisms of Leia's behavior, which I think are very fair. But the show, it is always interesting and important to note when the show is, yeah, going beyond what happened and, like, really curating how yeah. we feel about someone.
Yeah, like, you're giving them material. She's giving them the material in this that could be, like, a really, like, fan favorite heading onto the beach or whatever material. Like, she's still confident. She's down but not out. Like, she believes in herself. And they instead edit it in this way to make her seem, yeah, unself-reflective, mean girl to the end. Like, even if she did have regrets about how she handled things, I doubt that she's going to be here in the limo at this moment being like, oh, yes, thank you for asking that. I do feel really bad about how I handled things with Maria. No, of course not. So, like, it really is just,
I also wondered if the thing that was dangling there was, like, do you regret burning that card? That is what
I think that's definitely what was dangling there. Yeah. Do you regret? But, like, I do think that she shouldn't regret that in the sense that, like, what good would it have done her to get a date that Joey didn't want to have with her? Poor Leia. Rougher run than it looked like it was going to be at the beginning.
Next week, they're all headed to Jasper in Alberta. I'm relieved. We said last week we hoped that they would not leave North America and, like, head back to Europe just to go do a bunch of hometown dates in North America. And they are not. They are staying in Canada. Yeah. And they are going to a very, very beautiful province. And next week, it's time to figure out who's going to hometowns. Jen continues her kind of, like, good time girl edit, where we get a clip of her saying, like, I just want to get naked and cuddle in the woods. We see they're going to do a polar plunge and a horseback ride. Daisy says that she's not going to tell Joey she's in love with him just to get a rose. Daisy's making a fan favorite comeback next week.
Yeah.
I can tell.
It's interesting that they showed that. I am curious what's next for them because she was such an early front runner. But as the other women have started to come into play, I don't see her connection as being one of the strongest ones anymore. It feels more friendly. Like, I don't think that I've seen the same level of, like, romance and passion with them. And it's interesting that Daisy seems to feel the same way. Like, she's like, we're clearly just not there in this clip. But we'll see what the context yeah. is. Maybe the context is her being like, I'm not going to say just to get a rose, but I am in love with you.
Oh, interesting.
Could be a mislead.
I just think that she's going to, she feels due for a second one-on-one. And I
she's definitely getting one.
See their relationship grow leaps and bounds next week. Maria also is having doubts. She says, we see her saying, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And Joey is just getting all kinds of freaked out. This week is going to crush him. He's just so scared.
He's going to have to start sending home people that he's had one-on-ones with. He hasn't done that yet. Lexi left on her own. She is the only person.
In a way, I was like, Joey, Lexi did you a massive favor. Yeah.
No, she really
did. She saved you one, like, devastating breakup that you have to initiate.
And I think he might have fought harder if he didn't on some level know that. I think there must have been a part of him that was like, now I don't have to do this later. And, like, that was always the most likely outcome here. So he can't, like, fight for her to stay and then send her home next episode. It would kill him. He wouldn't be okay.
I worry he still will not
be okay.
He's not.
I'm serious. He is going to be in therapy for years. I'm afraid for him.
Let's move on to love to see it, hate to see it. Let's start with love to see it. We obviously love to see the most cinematic, beautiful rom-com little bit between Joey and Jen when Joey tries Jen's absolutely disgusting poutine and responds as if she personally betrayed him. It is so adorable.
Yeah, I don't know why that was so cute, but I fucking loved it. I also love to see Joey doing the right thing and sending Jess home during the group date the minute that he heard her say she was falling for him and he realized that he felt nothing for her except a mild friendship. It was the right decision.
Also love to see Kelsey T's adorable nickname for Joey, Joey Joe, which made several appearances on their one-on-one.
So cute.
Cute.
And bold to give a nickname to The Bachelor, you know.
I respect it.
It's a move. I love to see Maria really hitting her stride. Like, she's such a delight. She,
love her,
honestly navigated the drama surprisingly well, considering. I continued to like her through it. And when she's not locked in combat, when she is like being romantic and fun on a date, like, I could just watch it all day.
I know. And also, you can really see that she has great friendships with a lot of the women during this episode.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, what's starting to happen is that the women who really didn't get along with her are just not having strong connections with Joey, and they're all leaving.
Yeah.
And so it's her and her friends are mostly the people who are left.
Also, would love to see a one-on-one that was fun primarily because of the conversation and banter between the two people instead of drama, trauma, or a weird activity that also involves some sort of trauma. Simply by existing. Like, no one had to jump out of a plane, vomit, like,
yeah,
it's a good time.
There weren't, like, weird crafts involving painting things with your body. They genuinely were just fun to watch having a conversation. And I want so many more dates like that, Also, love to see Feist on my TV. This was such a gift. A musician that we love, a Canadian icon. Thank you so much for gracing our screens.
And now it's time for Hate to See It. We hate to see sweet Joey breaking down over the expectations of perfection the world has placed on him cruelly. We hate to see him in pain, but I have to admit, part of me does love to watch him softly weep.
Yeah, it's the beauty of genuine emotion, and that's real. It's pathos. We also hate to see motion sickness becoming the dreaded third wheel during the Cirque du Soleil date. I wanted to just jump in there and get Joey some strong ginger tea, some acupressure bracelets, some Dramamine, like whatever it was going to take to get him back on those spinning harnesses. It made me sad to see him suffer.
Also hate to see Leia getting in her own way until the very end, and also the show actively getting in Leia's way until the end. Both are true, and both made it very rough to watch.
Yeah. Such a fall from her entrance to her exit. Brutal. I really hated to see all of the women starting to break down under the weight of their crushes on Joey. It's relatable. Like, we're all there. We're all like, I love Joey and I have to watch his connections with other women right in front of my face. But it's probably harder for them because they know him personally and not just from television. And I genuinely like love pretty much all of the women who are left. I want the best for them.
Me too.
And it's hard to watch them feel sad and insecure.
And finally, our camp counselor energy rating out of 10 ooey gooey s'mores. And I just want to remind everyone that a high camp counselor energy rating does not mean an incredible episode, and a low camp counselor energy rating does not mean a bad episode. So I loved this episode, but I thought that it was a significantly lower amount of camp counselor energy. I was going to give it about a 4 because Joey and all of his campers, I'm sorry, I mean women, are just really struggling emotionally this week. And Joey simply doesn't have the capacity to be, like, really leading them on a hike and, you know, dealing with all of their emotional needs because he has emotional needs.
Yeah, like, this is, like, that moment when, you know, your teacher has to step out of the class and you realize they're crying. You know, like, his emotional self has, like, broken through his role. He's not able to, like, adequately embody that authority and fun because it's all just too much to bear. So I think we're at a 4 this week for camp counselor energy. And, you know, I think maybe he just needs a week off or, like, get to go into town for the weekend to blow off some steam because the responsibility of all of these campers' well-being is getting really heavy for him.
And on that note, that's it for this episode of Love to See It with Emma and Claire.
Love to See It is produced by us, Claire Fallon and Emma Gray, and Stitcher. This episode was edited by Talon Stradley. Our theme music is by Tamar Haviv, and our art is by Celine Chang.
If you like our show, please remember to follow us, rate us 5 stars, leave a review, and of course, spread the word about Love to See It to all of your friends.
If you want to get in touch, you can email us at clareandemmapod@gmail.com.
You can also find us on TikTok at Love to See It Pod and Instagram at clareandemmapod. And you can find our newsletter, Rich Text, on Substack at clareandemma.substack.com. I'm also on social media at EmmaLadyRose.
And I'm at Claire E. Fallon. We'll be back next week.
Stitcher.